Hi, my name is Tally. I was created 6 years ago and born on Monday. I was made when my mum got sick and I was frozen. I travelled to London for some tests, then I came back home to Dublin for a few years. In 2021, I went to Ukraine, but sadly a war broke out and I was rescued by an amazing man, put into his car and driven to Slovakia. I spent some time in Bratislava and then I went back to Kiev. I went back to Bratislava for a while before taking a train to Berlin. From there, I got another train to Paris and then I flew to Turkey. I finally landed in Tbilisi, Georgia, where I was carried by an amazing lady for 9 months until I was born on Monday morning. My name is Native American and it means leaping water. I have leaped many seas, rivers and lakes to be here, and I am 2 days old. My mum, dad and big sister Pia love me so much. My name is Tally Crawford. I am a miracle. Welcome to a very special episode of the Good Glow podcast from Georgia with myself and Jamie. This season, I've teamed up with ReproMed, Ireland's leading fertility clinics. Having been through the process of IVF myself, I understand how daunting and difficult a fertility journey can be. With clinics in Dundrum, Dublin and Rahoon in Galway, their world-class team offer the expertise and empathy and compassionate care needed to help and support you. Dr. Hans and his amazing team have high levels of success due to their experience and expertise with 120 years combined fertility experience and passion to help their patients grow their family. You can visit repromed.ie, which is packed full of information on IVF, egg donation, fertility preservation, and so much more. Hello, I hope you're well and thank you so much for tuning in to this really special episode today. As I said at the top, it's myself and Jamie today, and a couple of months ago I was planning the last episode of this season and it was due to be released on the day we were traveling out to Tbilisi. I thought, wouldn't it be nice maybe if we held that episode back and found a little pocket of 20 minutes where we could speak about our journey from here and release the episode a few weeks later. So we made it happen. We're here today. We're in our apartment in Tbilisi. My mum and stepdad Joe are here holding down the fort with our two girls. I think that's the first time I've said that downstairs. And we've slipped away. You know, this podcast over the last couple of years has been a real safe space for me. Instagram feels very public, but here I know that I am supported by the incredible Good Glow community. So thank you for joining us today to hear our story and for holding us all in your hearts, especially over the last couple of weeks. We appreciate all the love. Jamie is here twice in one season. There's definitely something huge going on in our lives if Jamie's here twice in one season. So thank you so much for joining me today.
This is probably the biggest thing that's happened in our lives since the Good Glow started, if you actually think about it. So thanks for having me.
Oh, no problem. And you're off to run a half marathon tomorrow. Or that's the plan so far. We don't know. Everything changes by the minute over here. But you're planning to get out for a little run tomorrow. And we will be cheering you on from inside these four walls because we're not leaving the house. but you're amazing and we're so proud of you. And you are officially and utterly outnumbered with two daughters, a wife and a female dog now at home.
I know. We might have a puppy coming sometime soon just to bring a little bit more testosterone into our house.
So we've had an incredible time. As I said, we feel so supported by you guys, but also by our families. My mum and Joe flew out all the way here to be, you know, to help support us and have made everything over here a lot easier. We're only so sad that your mum can't be here, but we're on FaceTime to her all the time and she's with us in spirit and we'll be home to Hazel soon. But I suppose because mum and Joe are here, this is why this 20 minutes is possible for us today.
Yeah, it's amazing to have their support. Like, it literally wouldn't be possible without them. So I'm very grateful.
I also just wanted to say before we get into it that I obviously, as we know, I didn't give birth to Tally myself. So this has been a very different week with a newborn to what I was used to. I had a C-section with Pia. I was very emotional, very tired. So it is very different. And I just wanted to say that. I'm in, you know, good physical health going into this journey, and I know how lucky I am to feel well. And just to say, the top of the episode, I read out a beautiful post, beautiful words that Jamie wrote while I was in hospital with Tally. And the words brought a tear to many people's eyes. It was Tally's story from her point of view. And thanks for writing that, Jamie, because I don't remember the last time I read something so beautiful.
That just came to me. It was, I think, night two, and I just got home from the hospital and had dinner with your mum and Joe, and put Pia to bed, and I just sat down on the couch, and it was all quiet. There was no TV on, nothing. And I was just sitting there thinking, Tally really is a miracle that she's here, because her story, as you read, has been pretty colourful to this point, you know. Even if we go back to 2017, when the embryos were created, like the fact that we even got to do that in that time period. So there was a month between when you had your surgery and then when you were about to go into chemotherapy, that we could potentially do an egg retrieval and fertilization and create the embryos, but it had to match with your cycle, and like that's the first miracle, that it did match with your cycle, and that was a positive thing. And we went into the egg retrieval. You can tell that bit of the story.
Yeah, well, I suppose when the doctor said to me, you know, we recommend you doing some IVF, I was like, what? Like, Pia was 7 months old. I'd just been diagnosed with cancer. I was like, I can't. Like, that's way too much. And I was like, Jamie, I'll be fine. Like, I'll be grand. You know, the way that was my usual soundtrack to my life. I'll be grand. We'll sort it out. I won't. Everything will be fine with my fertility. And you were like, Georgie, I really think that we should do it. So I just followed your lead. And I was like, look, he really wants me to do it. So, you know, I trusted you. You were my husband.
Is there something I should know about?
So I was like, okay. So we went in, we did the egg retrieval. It was really successful. And I remember you saying to me, this is the first bit of good news. The tide is changing. Yes, you have a cancer diagnosis. Yes, everything's falling apart. But the egg retrieval was successful. We have some embryos. We got to hang on to this good news now and kind of set sail with the momentum of that bit of good news. So, you know, as I said, I didn't think that I'd ever use those embryos. I never believed that would be my story. But I got familiar with Rosanna Davison's story and her sharing so beautifully and generously her journey in Ukraine. And it was September 2020. I remember saying to you, I think this could be an option for us. If Rosanna Davison did it, you know, maybe we could too. I knew nothing about surrogacy. So the fact that she shared that, like, first of all, brought me so much peace, because I took pressure off myself because I was nervous to carry again myself. Not that anyone advised me not to, but because I was diagnosed so soon after having Pia, I knew maybe physically I could do it, but I didn't feel like mentally I could. So Rosanna gave us some hope. And the first thing we did, we didn't Google anything. We rang Annette Hickey. We kept hearing, Annette Hickey, you need to get on to Annette. Annette is a surrogacy solicitor. I would say one of your great mates now. Like, I'm close to Annette, but you and Annette are like very close after the last couple of years.
Yeah, geez. Well, look, she's been giving us amazing advice for a very long time now. We spent a lot of time on Zooms and in her presence, and she
came to New York with us to run the half marathon.
Ran the half marathon with us.
Left us all for dust.
She did. She smoked us all. I remember sitting on that first call with Annette, no expectations, didn't know what to expect really. I just was like, okay, hopefully this lady's going to be able to help us in some way. And then, you know, close the laptop after that Zoom call and be like, that woman is a force and we need her on our side. And she has been an incredible force for us and for many, many couples in the same position as us. She literally is an incredible woman and we're very grateful to have had the chance to meet her and to have her in our lives now. And I don't see her going anywhere, even though this journey is relatively, or you know, even though this journey is kind of coming to an end soon, hopefully.
Yeah, I think she'll be in our lives for many, many years. And Tally's life, please God. So, yeah, so Ukraine was kind of coming up as there was a clear pathway to Ireland. Many couples had paved the way in Ukraine before us. It felt for me that the lines were very clear. The surrogate mothers were the priority. They were really well looked after. It felt safe. So we went for the option of being matched in Ukraine. And it took much longer than we expected. And then unfortunately, there was rumblings of Russia and Putin. I remember my brother Mick saying, you know, what's the story here? My mum was saying it. People were kind of very delicately bringing it up around us because nobody obviously wanted to upset us because we, especially me, I suppose people knew how much I really wanted a baby and was so sensitive. So I was like, oh no, it's fine. Everything's going to be fine. This is going to blow over. And then it was becoming more and more serious. I had, we were matched with a surrogate mother called Alina. It felt like all our dreams had come true. We were matched on Christmas Eve. It just felt like this was the start of our next chapter. Anyway, things became more and more serious. And because it was during COVID, I had an event that I was speaking at online on Thursday night. Our embryo transfer was due to take place on February the 21st, which was the following Monday, which actually I realized a few months later that was Pia's due date. And I said, oh, there's a Zoom call tonight with Mary Siri Carney, Department of Foreign Affairs. Like, we need to log on and see what's going on because Biden was saying Putin is going for Kiev. And I went off, I did the event. It was a mum's talk event. And I came back in and you were pacing up and down and saying the embryo transfer can absolutely not go ahead.
Yeah, and to get to that point was really difficult. Obviously, we had gone through a year's worth of paperwork and so much stuff to get to there and, you know, had bumps in the road and it was just exceptionally painful to say we can't do this. But like for me, there was no choice. There wasn't, like, it was too much of a risk. And then unfortunately, 3 days later, the war broke out. And ultimately that was the right decision, but it was a very difficult time. And obviously at that time we were worried about our surrogate mother, her welfare, our embryos,
all the people we've been working with,
all the people, which is a lot, solicitors, agencies, clinics, like we'd known a lot of these people. So to be able to just to have to sort of stop everything and then go into this unknown period of what we were going to do was horrendous.
I remember that night, actually, that Thursday night, the 24th of February, I got into bed like in such shock, but also I was like, we have a roof over our heads. My husband is lying beside me in bed. My daughter is asleep in her bed. I never felt sorry for us, if you know what I mean. Obviously my friends were like, it's okay to feel sad, Georgie. It's okay to feel sorry for yourself because you have had a loss. And I was like, I can't get to that point because this is so serious. And the people who we've been working with are in bunkers tonight and we're in our bed. But I remember watching CNN for like 18 hours a day or flicking from CNN to Sky News. I remember Scott was coming up because I tore my MCL. It was all such a blur. The TV was always on. We were getting takeaways. I couldn't cook. And I remember I looked at Pia one evening and I was like, have I fed her? Which is such a huge thing for a mother to admit that they can't remember if they've gave their child dinner. But I think I was so stunned that I couldn't remember what I'd done a half an hour before.
Yeah, well, I think the world was stunned. And then suddenly we obviously have our own situation within Ukraine going on top of that. So that's going to, you know, I think we had been in touch with the agency. They had assured us that the embryos were safe. And then, you know, a couple of weeks later, I think it was, we got sent a picture of the embryos in the boot of a car getting on the Ukraine-Slovakia border with the amazing Ukraine flag. And the amazing embryologist, literally the embryologist, put the embryos in his car and drove them across Ukraine and into Slovakia to safety, where they stayed. And this is, you know, the other element of the miracle. They were safe and we were assured that they would be safe and would stay there for as long as we needed them to be there.
And our little Tally was in the back of his car being driven across Ukraine.
And just to give other people some context, is we had seen when Tally or our embryos were moved from Ireland to Ukraine, you get a photograph of your embryos in a cryo freezer or whatever they're frozen in a bag on a plane. Like, you get these photographs. So we then were like, oh my god, it's hard to give an image, but like, sitting on, they had their own seat on a plane beside the courier who brought them, and then we, you know, that gave us some sort of tangible feel to like what it would look like. And then we saw the cryo freezer things in the boot of the car and we're like, oh my god, they're in there now. So they went from a bag into those other freezers, and then they were suddenly in Bratislava in safe keeping for a couple of good few months anyway. And then she went back to Kiev when things settled a little bit, and we thought we might start the ball rolling there again. But
We were just waiting for the war to be over, and we were waiting and waiting, and watching on in horror, disbelief. Not actually, I still haven't got my head around how the world just watches what's happening there, because it just feels inhumane. And then I think I came to the realization that our journey with Ukraine was over, and maybe our journey with those embryos were over, because we were lucky enough to have more embryos in Dublin. And I thought, what if we just start again and say goodbye to those embryos, which was really hard, because that baby that we were supposed to get on February 21st, I was like, I'll always wonder about that baby. Fast forward to another call with Annette, our superhero. And we finally reached a point together that we felt like Georgia might be our next chapter. In the middle of that, we won't bore you with the details, but we'd look to Canada. So we were matched really quickly with a surrogate mother in Georgia. We obviously had so many interviews with so many clinics. We really connected with Naiya and B Parent. There was just something about her. She was Georgian. A lot of the, you know, other agencies in Ukraine had moved into Georgia, and we were like, no, we need to stick with the, you know, someone who knows their own country and has you know, had their clinic here for operational for a while. So we were matched. Naiya took us under her wing. We felt so safe in her care. And she said, I have the perfect lady for you.
And you need to get the embryos to me quickly.
Yeah.
So at that point, the embryos were shipped back to Bratislava, went on a train to Berlin, another train to Paris, a plane to Turkey. Ankara in Turkey, and then arrived here in Tbilisi. And within 3 or 4 weeks,
We're doing an embryo transfer.
We're doing a transfer.
So
it
that's
was
why
crazy.
When I was in hospital this week, I kept saying to Tally, you were on, I keep looking down at her right and going, you were on a train to Paris. And then you flew to Turkey. I just think it's so cute.
And she says, but how did I get to Tbilisi from Turkey?
But I was on doing a podcast with Whitney Port from The Hills. This is one of these moments in your life you never forget, like an outer body experience. And I was like, Whitney, I need to tell you off the record, my embryos are on a train to Paris. And I just can't cope with this. And she was really supportive and nice to me that night. Another soul sister. So we did the embryo transfer, and we're not going to talk about her surrogate mother because obviously she has her own life and privacy, but she is amazing. She has her own family, her own children, and she wanted to give a gift to a family. So she chose us and we went on the journey. I love her. She is incredible. And we had, you know, conversations at scans. She's so kind, beautiful. Just, I can't say enough about her.
She's amazing. But, you know, we went and on the first day we arrived here, we went to the clinic to meet her and go to her last scan before the baby was born with her. And what I'd love to know is what you were feeling when you walked into that room and actually saw her, because you can see someone on a Zoom is fine. But when you actually saw her face to face, what you were thinking.
So I was so nervous about it. And we just landed, you know, a couple of hours before. And we pulled up outside the clinic and Miranda came out and said, she's here. She's in reception. And it's a really busy clinic. It's like as any sort of clinic you can imagine in a busy city. There's people everywhere. There's loads of, you know, pregnant people around. There's people waiting outside. And I just remember kind of hurrying myself into the reception. And I saw her across the room, a really kind of long room. And it was like there was nobody else in the room. I can't describe it. It was like this invisible string, not only pulling me towards her, but like rushing me towards her. Mm. It was like it felt like I was running towards her almost. And I just touched her for the first time and she touched me and we both cried. And to have the baby in between both of our bodies in that moment and just to look at her and be like, we're here.
I just remember welling up, feeling like I was about to cry, but you were like full on in tears. She was crying as well. And then you guys hugged each other and you hugged each other and you hugged each other. And I was standing there behind you going, can I give her a hug? Like, but she was just holding on to you. I'll never forget her seeing her hands on your back, just like pulling you like towards her and just holding and holding and holding you. Then I started crying and obviously you eventually separated from her and I gave her a hug and
Pia was there and
she held Pia's hand and was holding her hand and chatting to her. And it was just, that was an amazing moment when that happened. And that's one I won't forget.
Yeah. And that's probably, you know, we'll move on from that, but it was very special. And I just actually, now that you say it, I remember her touch, like just the warmth of her touch. Mm. Yeah, so beautiful. So Tally arrived on Monday and we haven't stopped staring at her since. I feel so many endorphins every time I look at her. It's like this physical rush of love within my body, which I was really scared that I wouldn't get. I was worried that what if I look at the baby, and that was all pre-baby arriving. What if? And I watched that episode of The Kardashians with Khloe when she said she couldn't really connect with her baby, and I was a bit freaked out after watching it. But that is her story, and it's good that she tells the truth. So I was worried that that would be the case for me. Thankfully, it wasn't. And I remember when Tally was born, she was put on oxygen for 2 hours because she's so teeny tiny, 5 pounds, 7 ounces, which I stunned.
and we did have to kind of wait outside for, not outside and outside, but downstairs while they attended to her.
Yeah, that was a bit of a worrying period. But like when she came out, she cried and did all the normal things. But they said, look, we're going to put her on, I think a lot of C-section babies go on oxygen for a little while. So she was put on oxygen and cared for so well by the nurses. And they actually just gave us such good reassurance that she was going to be fine. And they said it might be 2 hours. It wasn't 2 hours. It was only about half an hour. We got word that she's flying it and we get to go and see her. It was obviously an anxious wait. We wanted to get up and go see her again because we'd only seen her for a few seconds.
I remember Naya saying, no, the doctor said don't worry. And I said, did the doctor actually say don't worry? And she looked at me and she said, yeah. And I said, okay, then I'm fine. I've been in so many doctor's appointments where you don't, you know, you haven't been reassured. So I knew if a doctor reassures you, you're grand. So we spent, myself and Tali spent 3 nights in hospital. Obviously, she's so tiny. We are there. The hospital's priority was her health. And thankfully, I was so lucky that I got to stay with her in the hospital to look after her at night time. And obviously, all day you were there and Pia came in and my mum and Joe. But we have been on an absolute cloud ever since. Yes, it's been hard. The nights are long, all the usual things. I'm not going to give you a fairy tale version of it. There has been, you know, difficult moments, the worry, the stress. But I do feel like we are privileged, first of all, because I am in good health. I'm not recovering myself, even though I would love to, in a way, just feel all the Tali was trying to breastfeed the day she came out. And that was a difficult moment for me. But the next day after she was born, we got to go and see our surrogate mother. I really wanted her to hold Tali if she wanted to. And she did. She wanted to spend some time with us. So we hung out and it was another amazing, incredible moment I'll never forget.
Yeah, you guys just sitting there holding hands and her holding Tali was, well, that was pretty amazing to watch. I was just, again, standing in the background being like, Jesus, this is emotional. But she's an incredible person and we're so grateful for that moment and for everything that she's done for us.
And we'll stay connected forever. I just know it.
Yeah, you guys definitely have a
I feel
a
like we're
bond.
Kind of like happy around each other, you know, that sort of way. So we'll see her again this week or today's, what day is it? Saturday. We'll see her the week ahead of us probably again. I really want her to meet Mum and see Pia again and see Tali again, of course, and hold her, give her a squeeze. And that's where we are now. So the story of Tali is she's a week old, but she's definitely got a lifetime of stories already.
Yeah, she's been on a big journey and it's just amazing that she got here safely. Like, just even think she was created 5 years ago and she's here now and she's 4 days old. It's mad.
And we got to use our Ukraine embryos. It's most likely the same baby that we were transferring on the 21st of February. We have started the exit process now to get home to Dublin. Hopefully, Tali's last journey for a few months. I think we need a little bit of home time with Piper and everyone. But Tbilisi, or Tbilisi, as some people say over here, it's probably the correct way to say it, do you think?
Yeah, I think that's how locals might say it.
Is in our hearts forever, and the people here and this incredible city. I know you absolutely adore it. It feels to me like New York a little bit.
Yeah, it's kind of like like a New York suburb or maybe even a Chicago suburb. That's what it feels like to me. It's busy and there's high-rise buildings and it's a lot going on. There's an amazing food culture here, which is like we've had a lot of good food and the weather's been amazing. It's just been, you know, obviously it's going to be a place that's warm in our hearts forever. But Yeah, obviously looking forward to getting home, but I don't mind if we have to stay here for another couple of weeks. No, sun is shining and it's a beautiful place to have Pia, and there's lovely parks and there's lots of walking and nice places for Tali to begin her journey home.
I think the fact that the national monument here is the Mother of Georgia says so much about our journey. You know, I have the podcast Soul Sisters because I've been supported by so many women over the last four or five years. And I said on Instagram during the week that I felt like this was already written, that I would have this experience with another woman, that I would have another daughter in the city of Tbilisi, where the Mother of Georgia is the national monument. And she is up there on that mountain and she holds a sword in one hand to protect against enemies, and a bowl of wine in the other to welcome new friends.
Yeah.
And Jesus, God, I'm so emotional. I keep saying I don't have the new mum hormones because I don't want to like overstate, you know, because I didn't give birth. And
you definitely have the new mum hormones, and you also have, this is the thing that's, you know, I forgot how amazing you were with Pia when you, because like we obviously had Pia was born, I had no expectation of what you would be like, but I was definitely surprised with how amazing you were with her naturally, and to see that again now is phenomenal. Like the bond that you have with her and have had immediately is just amazing, and being able to watch you do your thing with her, which just comes naturally to you. So I think that I said it to you the other night, you said, I'm so happy, I feel so happy. I was like, I can see it, like it's all there, you're just bouncing, and we're all just very, very grateful to be here, and you're amazing, and so is our surrogate mom and everyone that's got us to this point, including little Tali, because she's got us here as well.
Yeah, and so grateful to my mum and Joe, and can't wait to get home to see your mum and Sam and Sophie, Mick and Kira, like Judy, JP, Jason and Jean, just all of our family who are missing out on this time, but also standing behind us and, you know, putting the wind in our sails and making us feel very loved. So thank you so much for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed our little tale about tiny Tali, who was adored, I think, most of all by her big sister Pia. And to say now that I have two daughters, I think my life is just absolutely complete. And I love you. So thank you so much for everything that you do for us.
I love you too, and can't wait for the next chapter at home with our family of four plus Piper, five.
And the two flights home and the long haul stopover, it should be interesting, but it's been a dream so far, and we'll keep you guys updated. So thanks for the love. I feel it, and it's actually so needed, and I really appreciate the kindness and people understanding the journey, because it's a hard one to understand, but, you know, this is our story, and I'm trying to be as...
Look, I think Rosanna Davidson opened a door for us. We never considered the option, but we certainly considered it a lot deeper after Rosanna shared her story. And I think hopefully by us sharing our story to, you know, people, you know, someone might get to be sitting here, maybe not in this apartment or maybe in another city or whatever, feeling the way we feel, and hopefully it might help at least one person. And if it does, then I'm glad we've got to share our story.
And just before we go, I just want to say, safe and ethical surrogacy, stay off Google. Contact Annette Hickey. There's other surrogacy solicitors in Ireland. Irish families through surrogacy are doing incredible work, and giving safe advice. So just make sure that you go down that route.
100%.
Yeah. Okay. That's it. Okay, let's get back to the babies. So there you have it. Before I wrap up, I just wanted to thank ReproMed for supporting the Good Glow again this season. A fertility journey is so personal, and ReproMed pride themselves in taking compassionate interest in your care. Having spent time with the team, I know they will provide you with everything you need to know about treatment options in a safe, supportive and honest environment. ReproMed has invested significantly in the past 3 years in their state-of-the-art laboratory to give their patients the best chance of success, and are trusted and recommended by maternity hospitals and GPs throughout Ireland. Visit ReproMed.ie for more, or if you want to click on the link in the episode show notes, I will link my episode that I recorded with Dr. Hans from ReproMed. He's one of the first people that reached out to me this week after the arrival of Tally, and we had a great conversation, so I'll link that. Thank you so much for listening this season. It's been one of my favorite ones ever. I know I always say that, but this season, a lot of new friendships in my life were created this season, especially with the O'Hallorans, and they've supported me so much since we recorded our episodes. So a big shout out to them, and I'll see you next season, guys. Thank you so much.